You're listening to Event CEO, a podcast for executives who are looking to maximize their event ROI through business strategy, technology, and innovation.
Welcome to the Event CEO podcast. I'm Regan Lamb, Chief Operating Officer at Linder Global Events, and I'm guest hosting today's conversation, What Event Professionals Can Do Now During the COVID-19 Pandemic. I am joined by my colleagues, Linda Lindemood, Vice President of Safety and Logistics, Megan Cumming, Vice President of Event Operations, and your usual host, Rebecca Linder, CEO and founder of Linder Global Events. As we all know too well, coronavirus has taken over the world and has impacted our lives in the events industry in ways that we could have never imagined. While live events have either been canceled or postponed, maintaining human connections remains incredibly important. As the event industry pivots, new ways of convening virtually are unveiled each day. Our intention for this episode is to give organizers and event professionals our insights around navigating this time. We remain energized and are proud of our counterparts around the world who are adapting to the new norm. We are all in this together. So let's talk a little bit about our experiences. When you first heard about the outbreak, what were your thoughts? And when did you think this is serious?
We all have different experiences coming from this. But I mean, as a business owner, I was thinking, you know, at the end of February when it was a conversation that everyone was having. And I was going, holy moly, and getting clients calling and saying, you know, hey, we're thinking about canceling our event in March. What do you guys think? I was like, I think that's a terrible idea. Of course you need to have it. You know, because I was thinking bottom line stuff. And then it occurred to me, oh, my God, this is, you know, of course they can't do it. And then what is that impact going to be? And thinking about it long term, I was like, and I remember, Megan, you and I had a chat about you were having a dinner party or something.
Yep. We were all shocked to hear that even socially, everybody was talking about the virus and what would happen and how it was impacting them. And somebody jokingly brought up, what do you think about the Olympics? And I mean, I couldn't fathom at that time, this was at the end of February, that we could ever do that. I mean, they haven't postponed the Olympics ever. That would be a monumental thing. I really didn't realize the gravity of the situation probably until the kids didn't go to school. I think that was for me.
But that's not just because that landed just on you. And I think you cried.
There were definitely some tears. I think that was shared across the office. I think that was both for on a personal level of being at home and not knowing what to do. But I think also just as a, you know, member of this larger society, I thought, oh shit, like this is really happening and this will affect all aspects of people's lives. So not just in terms of the work and events and what's coming next, but in terms of how we all operate as human beings through our day to day is totally shifting.
Yeah. And then, you know, then you've got the Olympics canceling and then followed by things like Microsoft canceling through 2021. Yeah. What's that impact going to be to us? Right.
For me, it was when South by Southwest canceled, though. Yeah, that to me was a huge shift in my mindset that we were looking at this very differently.
But that's why I bring up Microsoft, because think about this. So South by Southwest was an indicator that they were all going to come crumbling down. And why? It's because Facebook and Microsoft all pulled out for the safety of their, you know, the constituents and being good citizens. Now you've got Microsoft saying, I think it was a week or 10 days ago, hey, we're canceling all our events and going fully virtual until summer of 2021. Well, that is another indicator that guys,
it's a threshold.
As an industry and as a business, we're gonna have to start thinking really much longer term before we come back online in a live capacity.
And is anybody, for the thought of that, while I was mildly panicked to hear that they were pushing it out so far, part of me also felt a little bit relieved knowing that somebody had picked kind of a goalpost of where this was going to be. And that also knowing that we would need to innovate in a virtual space so much faster. Like we just, this wasn't just a summer fling that people needed to get something up on Zoom for the summer and we would all go back to normal. That this would really push us in our industry to think, okay, what is the next step? Where are we going creatively? How do we leverage this as a platform? That virtual is really here to stay in the events industry. And so now we need some really good options of how to make that great. How do you connect with somebody virtually? And so that's where I feel like the focus is of a lot of the conversations we're having with clients. How do you make that relevant? How do you make it exciting? How do you have that quote unquote beer with your you know, sponsor an attendee and share that experience virtually. That was, you know, a goalpost of, yes, now we have time and we're going to have to do it. So let's come together as an organization and make it happen.
And what's exciting about that, in my feeling, in my view, is too, that time frame gives us all, while it's terrible for business, right? It does give us an opportunity not only to innovate around what's happening right now in terms of converting events to virtual, but it also suggests, you know, working with our clients around what does the future of events look like? How are we going to pivot you, the industry, just kind of the notion of gathering, you know, overall? And to know that we're at the forefront of that, I mean, there's some excitement. And Linda, in your world, from the logistics and safety side, I mean, we've been worried about terrorism and all these other things, and now health is going to come to the forefront, which is going to have a major impact on even some of the design elements of events, right?
Absolutely.
You know, you don't want people there, you know, with fever holders like guns. I mean, they're going to have to be designed and be incorporated into the experience now.
Yeah, absolutely. You were right on the mark with that. There's going to be a number of things. We're going to have much more robust health and safety plans. You know, instead of our bag check or in addition to our bag check, it will might be that temperature screening area. You're going to see a lot in the most immediate future. You're going to continue to see those masks. And there are ways, you know, that I can see that, you know, as an industry, we can start incorporating them and making them part of our events. Hand washing stations at every turn and
buffets. I mean, the way we eat is going to change in terms of the live environment, I think, too.
Sure.
You know, I think there's much to come, but very interesting. Very interesting. And Megan, you'll be challenged with the team and, you know, just all the producers out there to, again, design around all of these things in a new way.
That's true.
You haven't had to
and do I, you know, I think that the live environment, when people do feel comfortable going back to gathering again, in more of a traditional sense, you know, absolutely will be different. And the way to woo people back to feeling comfortable with engaging, I think, is going to demand venues to have to shift how they're setting up. You can't just walk into this huge, enormous ballroom anymore and have people, you know, just in mass gatherings. I think the creative side for us is, okay, how do you create smaller, intimate gatherings? How do you make sure that you are talking not only to somebody who's maybe right in front of you, but virtually as well? What does the in-room experience look like? Again, for that health and safety, like Linda had mentioned, I think there's a lot to think about in terms of what that on-site experience is going to be and how to work clients through that and give them some great ideas and also work with our vendor partners, right? It's going to be a collaborative effort.
I was going to say, it's such a good point, Megan, because while we're all social distancing, we're coming together in a way that we haven't before. And it goes across industries, but specifically in the event industry. And I know, Rebecca, you've been really involved in the local DC Events Coalition as well as national events. What are you hearing as you're collaborating differently with these peers in the industry? What are you hearing that their main focus is? What are others concerned about?
Yeah, the first thing I will just pick up on that, what's really been heartwarming about all of this, and I think, Megan, you were talking about the human side of this earlier. I mean, I think what's so amazing about all of this is we are actually all coming together. And for a multi-billion dollar industry, we don't do that very often. We have traditionally operated much more as competitors and sort of these mom and pop shops, not really recognizing the economic impact that we have. So the conversations that we're having are one around, you know, how do we gain a voice in this conversation on the both at the federal and national front, as well as on the local front, to make sure we're being recognized as an industry that is not only significant to the economy, that drives so much of it, you know, directly and indirectly. I think the second conversation everyone's having is, how do you position your individual business to still be here and be able to serve your clients when events come back online? And the third thing is, when will events come back online? And frankly, most people don't think it's going to really come until, you know, 2021. That's hard to hear as a, you know, or think about as a business owner. And it's different too, guys, from the recession or the volcano or any of these other calamities we've experienced in the past, 9/11. I mean, this is a very, very different.
I mean, you mentioned from a business perspective, kind of the economic side of this. I mean, for all of those development officers who are still working and teams who are looking to fundraise, we've sat in on a number of webinars across fundraising platforms and how do you still remain connected And how do you continue to fundraise for your organization when the economy right now is a little questionable and different organizations have, you know, different opportunities to do that? I think in terms of the event side, as we think about what that fundraise is going to look like, one of the conversations we're all having is, what is the value and ticket pricing of attending something virtual versus attending something online? And, you know, is that equitable? Can you charge the same amount that you could? And what do you get for those dollars? You know, in terms of how do you highlight even sponsors online? And I know there's a lot you can do with graphics and creating these environments where people can walk in and go and talk to a sponsor, find out more information, but it's forcing us to really rethink, you know, how does that kind of fundraising element happen when you can't give somebody a table of 10 and you can't give them that VIP experience, or you can't create this custom activation on site. So part of the excitement and the unknown is where we can push the boundaries with this virtual platforms and where we can really gain some traction around exciting ideas and new marketing opportunities. And how do you reach out to more people than maybe you could have, you know, in a live environment room. But I don't know. There's some examples of what people are doing, but I don't think that there's been kind of one slam dunk of this is, you know, how we're going to. Yeah, I agree.
How to do it. You know, what's also interesting, too, that I've been really contemplating a lot is this experience that, you know, we're having on Zoom and BlueJean and all these platforms also where, you know, if you guys were looking at me right now, you'd see my kids' artwork right behind my head because that's where my little office is. And, you know, I'm not dressed in my normal necklace and nice shirt or whatever it is I would wear. I also think as a consumer, we're going to have different expectations from how we gather also. I think the level of formality may change. I think we're going to have to think about these kinds of trends also. I mean, the sort of that buttoned up formal presentation might not be as authentic anymore. And we talked about authenticity before, but I mean, I'm telling you, we're getting a real glimpse into people's authentic version of themselves. I mean, we've seen clients cry and
yeah.
We've seen every kid. My kids have been on every conference and Zoom call. They've made some version of an appearance. Some welcome, some unwelcome.
Well, we've had a common human connection and an experience. Correct. And but so we are connected so differently.
And how is that going to infuse into gatherings? I think fundamentally we're changing as a society and we are recognizing how important sort of that authentic connection is. And it is much more real, strangely, in this Zoom environment than it has been traditionally in the work environment, right?
Or absolutely.
Because we're just, everyone's caught with their pants down on a daily basis.
Quite literally in some cases.
Yes, in some cases. I saw that. It was terrible. I still can't block it out. But, you know, and the other thing too is the recession is coming, right? I mean, spending habits are going to change as a result of pay cuts and furloughs and, you know, loss of jobs and wages and just how this has impacted the economy. So I also think, and you were seeing some of the millennial culture was a little thriftier, right? There was articles about that. I wonder what is our responsibility and reaction and how are we going to drive those things into events? Like, how are we going to make them cool and thrifty and a little bit more DIY?
So, Rebecca, what do you think event professionals and their clients, how are they going to work differently together as they're looking at planning events? Are there things that they need to keep in mind that they
conversation with the clients. I mean, thankfully, as we as an organization, you know, always work as trusted partner to our clients. So we are in very collaborative situations with them trying to understand those bigger goals that they have. So I think talking about how they're going to transition from now to the next 5 years around what they're thinking in terms of their portfolios, I think becomes one, an important conversation, but two, educating them around what is actually happening. So live events going away for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months is one thing, but what they don't really understand yet, and I think we're all still trying to get a grasp of it, is it's what it is going to mean to budgets, to customization, to design, to all these, you know, potential trends that are coming. But, and I can just give a very small example. I was on a call where we were talking with a group of florists and they were talking about how their supply chain are being impacted so significantly that it's going to be very hard for them to be able to provide kind of such individual kind of elements and react to all the requests that they get, because they're going to have to do some potential buying in bulk in order, because that's how it's going to be sold. Design companies are saying the same thing. I mean, their supply chains are affected, yeah, like materials, you know, corkboard and, you know, plywood. I mean, basic things that we don't even think about, but are the backbone of the designs of, mm-hmm, our stages and of all these things that we produce. And those costs are going to be different. So we can't guarantee same costs and same price. We're going to have different conversations, not only with clients, but with our vendors. Much more collaboration, much, much more.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And if I can, to Rebecca's point, supply chain across the board is affected, but it also goes to some of the changes that we're going to have to, you know, start considering as it pertains to budget. You know, the enhanced health and safety procedures and processes that we take, the way that we are handling our food, the way that we're disposing of the goods, whether we are using disposable flatware or whatever the case may be, there's going to be, you know, a number of changes that are going to come into play. The way that we encourage our audience on the, as we start to transition back into live events, the way we transition them into that social distancing and, but still keeping them together for the event. You know, we'll have checkpoints for whether it's temperature checking or something along those lines. We're going to see a significant change in the way that we do business when we
transition back into live events. Logistics person all of a sudden is now going to be, but you're also now going to get to go
oh, super safe.
And, you know, have that experience, which you've never had to do before, because you're going to be part of, yeah, the decision-making, yeah, team around, okay, how do we handle this safely for our clients,
yep,
in terms of the food delivery. So there's fun part for you that'll change.
Sure.
But it's interesting how different your interaction, yeah, will be on the event side now.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Everything you do is going, sure, to be different.
You know, you're kind of running the day-to-day of the company. Yes, while I'm CEO, but I find myself more sort of outside, kind of with the, on the client end of things, you know, and on the vision end of things. I mean, you're day-to-day. I mean, tell us what you're thinking about as it relates to how this is going to impact how you're thinking about the company too.
Every day we think differently. And I think that streamlining everything we do just makes so much more sense now. And every choice we make, it impacts us differently than it did before. Our life has changed. And as an organization, making sure that we are streamlined and working together from the safety perspective to our client engagement, to our relationship building,
it's
all absolutely crucial. No, I was just saying, on top of that is the financial security of the company. I mean, that's what keeps me up at night. And that's what I think about from morning to night and then all night long.
I'm glad you're
is making
too.
Sure that,
you know, but the other thing too is one experience that we're having, and I mean, you and I were just talking about this earlier today, is the way we're working now. While we've always had people traveling and working remotely because we have events all over the world, I also, in the conversation we had today, was also pointing out that, you know what, guys, we need to really get aggressive about digitizing absolutely everything that we do,
everything,
as a process, because there is no reason, while we've fought it in a variety of ways, this is a very, very clear example of that we can function differently, fundamentally, again, as a company, that we need to embrace for many reasons, for fiscal reasons, for fast response reasons to situations that come about like this that are unexpected, and because the technology is there to support it. So I think that helps us tremendously too.
Absolutely. And we're so lucky that this is happening now in 2020, where we do have the technology to support it, and we're able to be innovative and literally everything we do, from every decision, every relationship, we're having to, yeah, do everything differently. That innovation, I think, is going to be crucial. And that's something that we've always done with our clients, and we guide them and we help them and we stay in front of the trends instead of behind the trends. But now that
across
is
the board,
going to
I'm
be
more
even
excited
more important.
Than I am panicked about this situation. I think there's opportunities at the company level, at the relationship level with clients, as well as in the events industry writ large. I think it's so exciting, and it's a forced time to innovate. And we're not given that opportunity often, but we're being handed it now. And it's ours to take advantage of collectively as an industry and as a world.
Always the optimist, Beck.
Yeah. Always, always. I'm never going to change because it's true.
It is true.
There are so many great things that are going to come from this. Our world is changing and we're on the forefront of it.
That's true.
And this is a gift. We get to be the creators and the innovators of what's happening tomorrow. And you don't get that opportunity often. So it needs to be embraced as inconvenient at the moment and hard, but exciting and full of opportunity.
I mean, if event professionals are nothing else, they're able to pivot and they're able to be flexible and to try new things. And that's
and it's why
are,
I
and
think
that's in everything we do.
If we have the right attitude and we have the right mission, we will be on the forefront of how the world functions going forward. And we'll be able to innovate and be so much a big part of that conversation. But it's contingent because we have the capability, but it's contingent on what we bring in terms of our attitude and our outlook and our perseverance around all of this.
You know, it's interesting, you know, how you say that, Rebecca, that, you know, while we are shifting and pivoting and changing and getting digital, you know, this is something that you said, I agree with you. This is a gift because, you know, we will get back to those person-to-person events eventually. And this will be something that we will carry through. This is not just a gap stop. This is something that we're going to put into our capabilities and carry through no matter what we do. And I think that
yes.
This is where we make our mark.
Let's
Everybody
face it.
Makes
How
their
many
mark
times
on this.
Have we had the conversation and with clients about how boring their events are and how the same chicken dinner every time. I mean, guys, we are bored yep. as an industry. Clients are bored. They have legacy events that they're trying to figure out what to do with. We are being forced to make these changes and society is forced to come along for this journey. That's why this is opportunity for us to be amazing.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think I'm hopeful about
Megan,
a lot.
What are you hopeful
I
about?
Look at kind of culturally the shift, right? I have visited more zoos with my children virtually and museums in the past 2 weeks than I have been able to do on foot and traveling around. You know, I can get access to my workouts in my gym, in my home. You know, I think that is the society, the shift, while painful, and Rebecca's right, everybody was really forced to do it in a real short amount of time, I think has been able to do it pretty well. And I think the excitement for me, I think it is pushing the boundaries on those events. Like, what is next? What is the next amount of technology that's going to come out? Like, yes, we're all online virtually. Great. But that's not enough. How do you make that a 3D experience right here in my home for me without me having to have the goggles on? Like, how is someone going to reach out and connect with me in a new way that has never happened before? So to me, it's that piece. And how do I help to push that with the events and not have a standard chicken dinner, as Rebecca called it? Yeah. Like that's what is exciting and mm-hmm. has me hopeful is that, okay, across the board, we can all make the shift to digital. Okay, what's next? And yeah.
Right. And venues. Think about venues. Mm-hmm. Venues are nobody wants to use the venue in the same way anymore. We're going to see great new spaces come online that we can use very differently than we have been. And the venues that exist are going to be forced to do it. I mean, it's just, as I say, it's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. It was really unexpected, but yet turn it on its head a little bit. Wow. What amazing things are coming. And we can't even yeah. imagine the half yeah. of it. So, and that's where the fun lies too, right? That's where the exciting conversations come from.
So we know live events are coming back. We know we'll be able to hug each other again one day, but maybe not everyone will want to go to a live event. How do you think events are going to welcome guests both in person, but then also virtually to do kind
yes,
of hybrid?
Right.
Is that,
yes,
will that be a thing?
Yeah. Where there was hesitation before, there will be no hesitation anymore. And you'll see full events that are online in a virtual. You're going to see full live gatherings, and then you'll see hybrids everywhere, for sure. We've talked about virtual events, but what actually to trade on what Megan was just saying, Megan, what you're talking about too is the hologram technology, the artificial intelligence
yes.
technology. Oh. You are going to have 3D experiences your home. I'm going to be able to be here, but somehow you're going to be able to like see me, my hands move in your living room, which is really weird.
Yeah.
For now.
I don't know about that, Beck, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'll be able to like touch you. But yeah, I do think those are all, I mean, and those are advancing at exponential pace. I mean, if you listen to any of these futurists like the Peter Diamandis or, you know, the Google guys, I mean, they're working on technology that's going to be with us any day now. And things like transportation and the fact that we're going to have driverless cars. I mean, that'll be here in 5 years to the degree that's going to change events. So much is going to change.
So during this time when event professionals across the country are kind of trying to figure out this future and what it looks like and get their hands around it, what should they be focused on right now? What are the things that they should be doing to help prepare for?
I think right now they should stop being scared. I mean, I think we all have to just stop. Stop whining, stop complaining. Let's just now turn it around and be like, okay, how do we help? How do we be part of the solution? How do we innovate? What do we need to be thinking about? What conversation should we be having across the board about what technologies really are going to apply to events? What is driverless car look like for our events? What does AI, how is that going to serve not only the current climate, but what is that impact going to mean? And really start getting ahead of that way over our skis in a way we haven't been. I mean, we've been using like Alexa, you know, and chatbots and things like that as part of our, meanwhile, my Alexa just went off as I said that. But, you know, all of those things we've incorporated, but it's going to advance so quickly as a result of this experience, I think. That, I mean, those are the things that we should be thinking about and talking about and preparing for and infusing into our events as much as we can for 2021 or whenever they come back.
Yeah. And for those planners who are out there, don't be afraid to make a mistake. This is the time to try something totally different, totally new with your events. And I get it. That's terrifying, right? Nobody wants to have an event that maybe doesn't go over well, but there is so much going on right now with new developing of technology and different platforms that were out there. And we are almost in this grace period where people understand, right, that your cat just walked through your camera on Zoom. It's happening at events. Some of my webinars that I've been participating in have started late because of technology glitches and issues. And we all seem to understand it at this time. So I think be bold, try something different, see how it works, and then, you know, steal what you love from it and what was great, and then never do that other thing that didn't work again. But to just be able to, you know, this is a time where you can try something new. That would be my advice.
It also gives us global access. Right? You can now, I mean, this Zoom environment, we've been bringing in people from all over the world to have conversations and to talk to in these kinds of formats in a way that we weren't doing before. You're now going to be able to have a panelist, you know, you're going to get that elite person from Singapore able to be beamed into the live event much more seamlessly than we have in the past. And they're going to be much more willing. It's not going to seem like such a big feat anymore too. So I think the access for content and people and participation is going to be much more interesting, both on stage and in audience.
Thank you all for being here today. I know I speak for the entire group when I say that while this is an incredibly challenging time and it's unprecedented and we're all sitting behind in our homes, we know that we're going to come out of this more resourceful, more creative, more nimble, and a stronger, better industry, and that we literally are in this together. What an honor to work side by side these amazing women. While we are all navigating new territory, we are doing it together. As an industry, I know that we will come out of this even more resourceful, more creative, and more innovative. If you have additional questions for this group that you want answered or suggestions for a future episode, email us at eventceo@linderglobal.com. Please tell your friends and colleagues about us. Subscribe and follow Linder Global Events on social media for updates and news on the latest episode releases. Thanks for listening, and until next time, make it a great day.